Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome on into a special edition of the Wolverine podcast and the Wolverine here on YouTube. If you guys are watching the video edition or if you're watching on our website, Anthony Broom here with Clayton Safey after what has been a pretty crazy 20 hours or so, really kind of 72 hours going back to Jim Harbaugh's decision to leave for the Los Angeles Chargers. But Michigan football has a brand new head coach. It is Sherrone Moore, despite all of the bluster and all of the noise about, gosh, why aren't they moving quick enough? Why weren't they prepared for this? Well, it took less than 48 hours or a little over 48 hours to finalize the deal. Sherrone Moore is the 21st head coach in Michigan football history. That was announced about 7 o'clock on Friday night. Quick turnaround to Ann Arbor, 11 a.m. Saturday morning for his introductory press conference. Anthony Broom, again, here with Clayton Safey. Clayton, before we get into the meat and potatoes of what we talk about, and again, it'll be a quicker little special edition episode here. We'll be back Monday to tie up some loose ends with the Jim Harbaugh era and talk about some other stuff with Sherrone, what's next. But given that, you know, the last couple days have been so, it's been kind of breakneck in terms of the speed at which all this has gone down. Michigan has its new head coach.
Yeah, no doubt. Exciting day over at the Young Center, I believe it's called, Champion Center, between Chrysler and the Big House. It was, a pretty cool moment to see Sherrone Moore named as the head coach. It's always kind of one of those historic moments. There's only been 21 head coaches now in Michigan football history. I don't know how many of them had press conferences back in the day, so maybe a dozen or more introductory press conferences. So definitely a historic moment, but they have their new head coach within a couple days. You know, I wonder, and so they split off Sherrone Moore and Ward Manuel after the press conference for us to be able to talk to them. You were over with Ward, so I didn't hear that. But, I wonder at what point the waiver went through. Have to do your due diligence, kind of last minute, tightening things up before you can offer Sherrone Moore the job. Like you wrote earlier, they had a long, long interview on Thursday, just, you know, right after Jim Harbaugh left the night before. So it seems like it came together, you know, as quick as it could have. And now Michigan can move forward. You know, Sherrone Moore talked about, you know, how, you know, and I think they purposely had this press conference Saturday. He's going to be introduced at the basketball game at 5 o'clock against Iowa, the under 12 media timeout in the first half. If people are curious, they're probably listening afterwards. But then it's hit the road recruiting, make sure you can keep your players and hire a staff. So things are moving quickly here because it's January 27th. And, Michigan is in that spot because, one, it won the national championship, and two, it had a coach good enough to go to the NFL. Two things you wouldn't trade necessarily, but also it puts them at a little bit of a disadvantage timing-wise. So I think that's why it's important to get this day over with and for them to now hit the ground running.
Yeah, and I'd stop short of saying that they lit the first 2 weeks of the offseason on fire, but given, like you said, the timeline of playing in the last game of the season and then with the NFL's hiring timeline, like that was always going to be how it played out, regardless of if Michigan made the college football playoff, made the national title game. We figured there would be that interest there in Jim Harbaugh. But I think where we'll start here, Clay, is with that timeline. According to Ward Manuel, Jim Harbaugh called him on Wednesday and disclosed that he would be taking the job. As early as, I believe, Thursday morning, he interviewed Sherrone Moore for the position. They spoke for a few hours, and then about 15 minutes or so, and granted, 15 minutes or so before the announcement was made on social media, that deal was done, signed, and finalized. But they had been talking several hours up to that point. So it seems like they did get the waiver. Again, I didn't make it over to Ward in enough time if he had addressed that or not. And Manuel had also disclosed that, yeah, I mean, when it became not clear, but when you had to start thinking about the possibility of a future without Jim Harbaugh, there was obviously Sherrone Moore's name was at the top of his list. There were some other guys that he knew he would be interested in talking to, but he said that about 7 to 10 days before all this went down, he told Sherrone Moore, he said, listen, if this, in this scenario here where Harbaugh decides to leave, you will be the first person I talk to. I need you to be patient, and I need you to kind of more or less kind of keep things together right now. We know that Moore has been out on the recruiting trail. Michigan staffers had been out on the recruiting trail. Some interesting tea leaves. Also, we'll talk about staffers here in a little bit, but this did come together fairly quickly. And something that I took away from Ward Manuel, the scrum that he had after the actual press conference is, you know, when he interviewed Sherrone, it wasn't just, you know, him being thrown into the fire those four games this year. Yeah, that was kind of the culmination of what the evaluation on Sherrone Moore was, or at least a big part of it. But, you know, every year it had always been publicized that Jim Harbaugh, Ward Manuel sit down and they talk about, you know, they had talked about Jim's respective status, talk about up and comers in the program and who needs what resource wise. And, you know, Ward was kind of upfront about, you know, Sherrone being a guy that he's seen progress into this role. And one of the big questions he had asked during the interview process is, what are you going to do? And I don't want to know what Jim Harbaugh had done in the past. I don't know, want to know how you guys are or how you guys attack certain things. I want to know what your plan is. And he was pretty darn impressed with all the answers he got. So Sherrone Moore wasn't just Jim Harbaugh's blessing candidate. This is a guy that seemingly went out and earned this job. And when he, you know, Ward Manuel apparently in his head had a list of candidates that he was ready to talk to afterwards, just in case his gut feeling didn't come to fruition. So the fact that he still had to go out and earn it, and then it did come together quickly, was what struck me.
Yeah. And it's no surprise that, you know, Sherrone Moore pretty much, you know, sealed the deal with his interview, and it didn't hurt either. You know, that Jim Harbaugh threw his support behind him. I mean, you could kind of read the tea leaves in the, you know, days, weeks, you know, probably months before that. And we had kind of heard even that there was a possibility that if Jim Harbaugh signed, there could have been something in his own contract that talked about Sherrone Moore being his successor. So I don't think it was a secret, you know, that Jim Harbaugh was going to endorse Sherrone Moore, but he certainly did that publicly in interviews, you know, before this came together. And that's not a small thing either. And this will be part of Jim Harbaugh's legacy, which is, you know, that he did have somebody, you know, in a high enough position to succeed him. Cause I don't think that would have been the case potentially a couple of years ago if he would have gone to the Vikings. So, you know, that's huge for this program to now transition into the next era. And then also, you know, the fact that they have this connection with the Chargers as well. Jim Harbaugh told the team on Friday that he wants the Chargers to be Michigan West, you know, so they're going to have that pipeline. And Sherrone Moore said, we have two pipelines of the NFL now. They have the Baltimore Ravens and they have the Los Angeles Chargers. And, you know, we talked about it last week a little bit, Anthony, but, you know, it's not just something where, you know, John Harbaugh threw Jim Harbaugh Mike McDonald for a year and said, you know, here you go. You know, you need some help here on defense. Here you go. No, I mean, he was kind of auditioning for, you know, the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator job, which he's now excelling in right now. That can be something that happens down the line with the Chargers and Michigan going back and forth. Sherrone said that he thinks Jim could draft some of their guys this year. He thinks he could sign some of them that go undrafted and others that are already in the league. So this is going to be a long and fruitful relationship between Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. And by the way, Ward said that they're trying to bring Jim back as honorary captain for one of the games this fall. So that would be pretty cool. But yeah, came together quickly. Jim Harbaugh had the endorsement, and that relationship is going to carry on, you know, were some of the things that really kind of, you know, stood out to me as we heard everybody talk today.
Yeah. And you and I had sort of talked about this on the way out of the building in that, you know, it doesn't often happen in college football coaching searches. And really this wasn't much of a search where everyone is unanimously on board, even going back to, you know, who would win the Game of Thrones, so to speak, after Lloyd Carr retired. Like, there were factions with that. There were factions when Brady Hoke was hired. Jim Harbaugh was kind of the white whale when he was hired. So that's certainly, in so many ways, he is just a one of one situation. But this has unanimous support. And it's a guy that, you know, I did a radio hit right before we went into the press conference. And I said, take away, you know, who he worked for, what his affiliation is, and just look at it as, you know, the offensive coordinator and a 6-year assistant, one of the key assistants on a team that just won the national title. Its team just won 3 straight conference championships and, you know, made those trips to the college football playoff. He's qualified. I mean, he would have been qualified for, you know, the Washington job if he wanted it. I know Jim Harbaugh was texting with Larry Lage today and said that apparently Northwestern had called him, you know, when they had to make their change last offseason or in the summer. So there is, you know, there are other teams that would have wanted him. And again, that's different than just, you know, Michigan. Michigan's a blue blood program and you're just coming off a national title. But this isn't just like, it's not nepotism hire because he's not a Harbaugh, but this isn't just, hey, let's plug this guy in because he's been here. He's a qualified guy. And I think one of the up and comers in this profession, and operationally things are going to look different. But he is qualified. And something that struck me as we kind of wrap up the Ward Manuel part of this conversation is, you know, Ward opened the press conference by saying, you know, he met with Michigan, the Michigan team on Thursday, and a player, an unnamed player, he wouldn't say who it was. I assume it was someone, in a position of relative leadership.
Didn't you kind of picture Donovan Edwards doing it?
That's exactly who I pictured. Yeah. And Donovan Edwards was there today, by the way. So
very excited.
Anyone worried about any of these guys getting poached? I don't think that's happening. That's a side here, but a player pulled aside Ward Manuel and said, Ward, you know who we want. Because at the time, all Manuel could really say is, I'm working on getting you a head coach as quickly as possible. And, you know, he's got the endorsement of the guy heading out the door. He's got the endorsement of the guys that came back. He's got the endorsement of the regents, the president, the community at large. And I think he would have had that even if he didn't have to step in for 4 games this year. But the fact that he has that, and again, it's going to look different because Jim Harbaugh could still coach during the week of those games. But I think, you know, when you have a lot of questions about a first time head coach, it's, well, how are they going to be on game day? You know, what does that look like? And we've seen him coach on game day and recruiting, all those types of things, NIL, that's going to take care of itself. But I think what we know for sure with him as a candidate is that when push comes to shove on game day, this isn't a guy that has lost his mind or lost his composure. I thought did a really nice job when he stepped in there. So qualified, it's who everyone wanted. And now it's time to go to work. I mean, less than 20 hours later, everything's, you know, kind of been worked out, and he's the guy moving forward. And that's, now you get to build on some stability, which, love Jim Harbaugh, didn't get to do that as much the last few off seasons. So this is it's a different era, but I think it is one that people should be excited about.
Yeah. And he has the support from everybody, which is, you know, he's qualified, but I think a huge piece of it is that, you know, he's able to keep the players, you know, he'll be able to keep roughly half the staff. You know, I know we'll get into that. And then, you know, that's a huge piece. But now I don't want to say none of that matters, but like, you're right. Like, now the work begins, right? Like, there's no guarantees that this is going to work. You know, I think it will, but there are no guarantees. And he's going to have to work for it. And this staff is going to, and by all accounts, they're excited for that and ready for it. But yeah, this is the hard part now, right?
Yeah, and there's all this talk about, again, people, the media comparison that people draw is, oh, well, look what happened at Stanford after Jim Harbaugh left. Like, David Shaw had some success, then it tapered off. And maybe that happens at Michigan. Like, it's impossible to know the future. No man knows the future. That is something that will stick around here. But you know, there's no reason he can't be what Lloyd Carr was, or, you know, even if someone at another school, like Dan Lanning has done an excellent job at Oregon, was, you know, didn't have any head coaching experience out before leaving Georgia. You know, Lincoln Riley had immediate success at Oklahoma after Bob Stoops left. So there's a good foundation in place here and a lot of things to work out, obviously filling out the staff. We'll talk about that here in a second, but don't know who your quarterback is next year yet. Don't know who your play caller is. Sharon Moore did say he's not going to call plays. We'll talk about maybe what that means.
He said probably not. Probably not.
I mean, I assume, given that he is a disciple of Jim Harbaugh, that there will be some sort of process, you know, a veto process in play. It was always sort of collaborative still while being his offense. But now you get to answer a lot of those questions. And there is, I mean, again, you know, a lot of the talk is about quarterback. And that's something that needs to be figured out. But you've got Donovan Edwards. You've got Colston Loveland. I think you've got a young and emerging group of wide receivers. You could talk yourself into this being a pretty good football team as soon as next year. But now you get to build onto that, too. And that's pretty exciting. But what do you think? Let's talk about staff a little bit, because a couple big updates here on Saturday morning. I haven't seen official word of this anywhere yet, but it does seem like Jesse Minter is off to the NFL, conflicting reports, whether he'll join Jim Harbaugh or not. I assume that's his destination. Ben Herbert is the biggest piece of the puzzle of all of this. And there's a lot of momentum in Ballas, you know, has talked to, I think, four or five people at this point that have heavily insinuated that he's sticking around. And media tried to speak with Ben Herbert at Sharon's presser. He sort of declined and said today's about Sharon Moore. But, you know, unless there's some kind of fight or bidding war that breaks out, Michigan's going to keep Ben Herbert, and that's arguably as good a piece as Jesse Minter would be to have kept around. Having that the physicality and the, you know, guys getting their bodies right, that's major, and that's a major win for Michigan if that does come to pass.
Yeah, and the culture too, just kind of keeping it intact, and apparently, and this doesn't surprise anybody because winter workouts started recently, but, you know, Ben Herbert played a big part in kind of keeping everyone together here in this time when their head coach was interviewing for different, you know, NFL jobs. And then they had the couple day period there where you didn't have a head coach. So, you know, again, that doesn't surprise anybody, but it just shows you the kind of impact that a strength coach can have on a program. So that's massive. You know, and then, you know, I'll just run down the list too of the assistant coaches that were at the press conference and talk about some of the other ones, but Kirk Campbell was there, Grant Newsom was there, Mike Elston, Ron Bellamy, Jay Harbaugh, Steve Klingscale, believed to be out recruiting, and then Mike Hart, according to Chris Ballas, was in Nashville for his daughter's gymnastics meet. I think the most surprising one was that Jay Harbaugh was there. A lot of people assume that he's going to head to Los Angeles with Jim, and he still, you know, probably will, in my opinion, out of a hunch there. But, you know, it was kind of cool to see him support, wearing the Michigan gear with the rest of the staff. And two, he's a Michigan coach until he's not, so you know, I guess in hindsight, not overly surprising that Jay made it, but, you know, just kind of a cool thing there. But yeah, Jesse Minter not there, as well as Klink and Hart. And it seems like Minter's headed to Los Angeles, which is obviously a big loss. But I think something important to note as well is a couple things. One, Sharon wants to get the staff complete as soon as possible, he said. And two, he said he wants to keep the philosophy the same on both sides of the football. Now, whether that means you actually get a guy with the kind of Ravens defense of background or not, you know, I think that that's going to be big for the defense, that they will keep a similar system, and, you know, and the other guys can help even that coordinator come in and learn it. But offensively, you're going to obviously have a very similar vision with Sharon Moore as your head coach, you know, potentially Kirk Campbell coming in as offensive coordinator. He kind of hinted at that because he said he probably won't call plays, but that he hasn't, you know, somebody in mind that he thinks will, you know, likely get that job. You would assume that's Kirk Campbell. That's kind of been the buzz in recent days as well. But yeah, I mean, you can retain around half the staff here, probably get a Kirk Campbell promotion at offensive coordinator, which he has called plays in the past, you know, not at a Big Ten Power 5 level, but or Power 4 level, I guess I should say, but has, you know, called plays nonetheless, called plays when Sharon was suspended in the opener against East Carolina. And then defensive coordinator, going to be the first big hire that Sharon Moore has to make, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think it's an appealing job too. I mean, given that you know, you have Mike Elston already on your staff, who's one of the best defensive line developers in the country. You've got a room full of guys that, I mean, there's a lot of questions about this roster next year, but defensively, outside of depth, I mean, this is a national championship caliber defense still, I think. And that's going to be appealing. You know, do you go back to that Baltimore Ravens tree? You've got the dual Harbaugh trees now in the NFL. So, you know, that connection helps.
It's appealing too, because the last two guys are now NFL, yeah, you know, or not officially yet for Jesse, but going to be NFL.
Well, it's appealing too, because we know the money that's left over in the banana stand, so to speak, right? Like this, There's always money in the banana stand. And you can make you can feasibly go get just about whoever you want from a salary perspective if you choose to tug on that thread. And again, you know, I don't think this is a situation where you see Elston get promoted or Steve Klingscale get promoted. Maybe they get, you know, Steve Klingscale already has the co-defensive coordinator tag, but assume everyone that sticks around gets paid more. But they can go out and pretty much get whoever they want. And from a staffing perspective too, or a philosophy perspective, I should say, a big change in the last 3 years was, you know, that first 5 or 6 years of the Harbaugh era, you had your tenets, right? Like, this is what we're going to be. Gosh darn it, we're not going to move off this. Think Don Brown's defense, right? A big shift in all of this was being positioned or schematically flexible given the talent that you have at each position and what the strengths and weaknesses of your team are. And so when Sharon says they want to keep things the same from a philosophy standpoint there, I think that's, to me, the biggest key to all of it. And that's what they will do, I assume. And that could mean some changes on offense. I mean, certainly that offense is going to look a lot different next year regardless. You know, even if a lot of those tentpole type of things stay in place. But, you know, the ability to, you know, the reason that this thing turned around under Harbaugh these last few years is that you empowered these younger guys to be pliable, to be flexible, to be prepared for anything. And I think more than anything else, when you look at what Sharon Moore is going to lean on, and, you know, you have your pillars of the program, right? But I really do think that this isn't going to be, oh, well, we're just going to be a smash mouth team and we're going to run the ball 40 times a game. I think that they're going to adjust to what their talent is. And if they recruit better, I think that adds a wide swath of possibilities for what you can be as an offense. So again, for as great as Jim Harbaugh was and as great as he has been, it's going to look a little bit different, maybe better in some areas, maybe not as good in some areas, but having a younger guy who is done and coached a lot of different things is nothing but positives for this program.
In an ace recruiter as well. And he talked about that off the podium, where he was asked, you know, about how important it is to have a head coach that's really aggressive in recruiting and kind of, you know, front facing and hitting the road and building those relationships. And he said, it's really important. And he said, if you look at, you know, all the top programs, they have a coach that does that. And Michigan has been that as well under Jim Harbaugh, but he said he wants to take recruiting and that aspect of recruiting to even another level. And he also talked a little bit about NIL, didn't go super in depth, but he did talk about how NIL is going to be, you know, something that's going to be important for player retention, how they already have a pitch, you know, kind of, you know, set out. And he's already started talking with a lot of the players at this point. It sounds like a lot of those conversations with players and staff will continue to happen throughout the day here on Saturday until the basketball game, maybe even after. And then as the days go on, because they still have another week here before the dead period hits, but it's going to be an important time. And it is going to be different at times. We did get a little bit of insight, AB, into some, you know, Sharon Moore taglines. We know smash obviously is the big one, but, you know, kind of from an overall program standpoint, he talked about how they're going to operate in three phases: the process, the pursuit, the standard. You know, he said the process over the prize, process over the prize. He said the prize we got, but we're hungry for more. We're in pursuit of greatness, and you have to do that. You got to push, you got to strain, you got to do that every single day on and off the field to be great. And that will take you to the standard. He said, once we continue to win on and off the field, we become the standard. And that's the goal here at the University of Michigan and nothing less. He said, we're not satisfied with victories of the past. We're hungry for future success. We're going to attack every day as we walk into the building as if it's the Monday of the national championship game. So, yeah, I mean, they had a fantastic philosophy under Jim Harbaugh, and they're going to have, you know, a little bit of different, you know, verbiage or whatever you want to call it under Sharon Moore. And it seems like he already had some of those things, you know, planned out before taking the job, which is important because, as he said, he's not Jim Harbaugh. He cannot be Jim Harbaugh. He said he's going to lean on him. He's going to continue to have that relationship. He's learned a lot from him in the past, but he's going to be himself. It's the only way to do it. And that brought a flashback too of Jack Harbaugh has told the story in the past how when he took the Western Michigan job as the head coach, you know, he for a while there, he tried to be Bo Schembechler, you know, in his first head coaching job. And it didn't work until he, you know, was himself. And I think a lot of coaches talk about that, especially ones that are under kind of a legendary coaching tree like Sharon is now. And I do think he understands that. So that's going to be an important piece as well, because this, you know, as much as the program had Jim Harbaugh's personality, you know, over the last 9 years, it's going to now take on the personality of Sharon Moore, and it has to. And by the way, those two have a pretty similar personality. I thought my favorite thing of the day was the story of Sharon's interview when he was interviewing for the tight ends coaching position in, you know, back in before the 2018 season. And he said the first thing he did is he pulled a chair out and started demonstrating on how to run block. Harbaugh got up, tightened his belt, and wanted like to be blocked. You know, and you know, Sharon said, oh, "I'm going to knock this guy out if I do that." But yeah, as a former offensive lineman, of course. But you know, those two from the beginning, I think, hit it off. So the personality is going to be similar, but it is going to be Sharon's team, and it has to be.
Yeah, the second part of that story was funny too, where he's like, you know, Harbaugh asked him if he wanted to stay over the night, and he's like, "Coach, I just packed a suit." And Harbaugh said, "Oh, come on downstairs, we'll get you some gear, and it'll all be good." And the next day, he had a job offer. So
you got to know you had the job once they gave you the gear, right?
that's got to be a pretty good indicator to take you into the Schembechler Hall gear closet, which I hear is fantastic. I would love a crack at that myself, but. Yeah, it'll be different. It's going to be, you know, again, Sharon can only be himself, but you know, this is a guy that I think the biggest thing that he has going for him as a first time, full time head coach is that so often, you know, you think about when Rich Rod was hired, when Hoke was hired, when Harbaugh was hired, you look at hires at other schools. Usually when you're getting hired, you're there to fix a problem that the guy behind you left. And this is an extremely stable situation. You have a good foundation of guys to build around for 2024. I mean, it's going to be rough sailing because that schedule is loaded, but you know, they have the pieces to stay competitive. And guess what? You know, I mean, we don't know who's going to be on this team yet. Thank God, like the football preview, we don't have to put any predictions in on this team until that goes to print this summer. But you know, I could still see them being a 9 or 10 win team. And in a 12 team college football playoff, 9-3 might get you in, at least have you in the conversation. That's not me lowering the bar for expectations. There's no reason that Michigan can't stay in the conversation that it's in, you know, with the resources they have available to it. So I'm not letting them off the hook and lowering standards by any stretch of the imagination, but he's going to have time, and he should have time. And you know, starting probably as soon as 2025 is really going to be when you have an idea of the type of roster he can build. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, there's going to be a lot more guys from these last few years that wind up going in 2025's NFL draft. So got to recruit, got to use the transfer portal. NIL needs to get better. And, you know, I think it will. I think there's this, I won't say an abrupt change, but a change as big as this warrants urgency and warrants, you know, a mobilization of the powers that be in Ann Arbor. And I suspect that it will. Hopefully it moves quickly enough to keep them in the conversation. But I certainly think right off the bat, Ron Moore is stepping into a really darn good situation that, quite frankly, he helped build and had a very substantial hand in cultivating and maintaining over the last few years. And there was no reason to do an interview with anyone else. He nailed the first one. He nailed the 4-game audition, as Ward Manuel said at the press conference. And now Michigan has its head coach. And now everyone moves forward, and we'll see what happens from there. Any other takeaways from this event today?
Yeah, just the next season. I'm not willing to put a prediction on it either, because not only do we not know what Michigan's final roster looks like, we don't know what all the opponents' final roster looks like, and it will be a tough schedule. And I think people do have to understand, too, that I think this team was probably going to take a step back from being top two, top three all season long, you know, regardless of whether or not Jim Harbaugh was here. And again, that's not excusing anything. You have a 12-team playoff now. The expectation should be to be there and compete for the national championship. But we'll see. You know, Sherrone Moore, I thought, nailed the press conference. That's, you know, and really it's a little bit different when it's an internal hire. You and I talked about this offline earlier. You know, there's no really winning or losing the press conference, but there was doing a good job in the press conference. And I thought Sherrone Moore did that, said a lot of really good, interesting things on and off the podium there that we have a lot of coverage of over at thewolverine.com, shameless plug. But now the work starts, and there's no guarantee that a first-time coach is going to be able to get it done. But, you know, if there's a first-time coach that can get it done, it feels like Sherrone Moore could be that guy, given who he is as a person and a coach, who he has around him, the infrastructure that's built here, the university that's here. So it's going to be exciting, man. I know people were pretty bummed out earlier on in the week after Jim Harbaugh left, but, you know, and they still have the right to be bummed out, you know, for a while going forward. But in another sense, you know, in a separate way, it's exciting to have a new era underway under Sherrone Moore, a guy that is part of the last era as well.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to think about, you know, Sherrone Moore. It's not a direct comparison, but Sherrone Moore won the Game of Thrones, right? This could have been a coaching decision. Like, think about all the factors that play when we thought Jim Harbaugh was going to Minnesota. Like, Josh Gattis was still on the staff. Sherrone Moore was on the staff. Mike Hart was on the staff. We were, the night that Jim Harbaugh was there, you and I were tracking a flight from somewhere down in SEC country that had to turn around and was rerouted when news of Jim Harbaugh's return broke. So, you know, Sherrone, again, if it was 2 years ago, maybe you feel a little bit different about it, but knowing what we know about this guy now and knowing, you know, the hand that he's played in building this program, I think it's the best possible hire they could make, both for, you know, the now, the short term, and for the long term, because I think that's your best chance at sustaining the success that they've had these last 3 years. So congratulations to Sherrone Moore. Congratulations to, we'll see what happens, what his staff looks like, but I predict it will look mostly similar. Obviously the defensive coordinator hire is going to be huge. Think maybe some hires in the recruiting department would be helpful. We'll talk about all that stuff on Monday. We'll do a little more long form episode, maybe put a bow on the Jim Harbaugh era to a certain extent and talk about some of the things that need to happen under Sherrone Moore, but wanted to get a quick little reaction out there for you guys. Listen, he didn't need to win the press conference, because he's already won on the field and he's winning at life right now. Sherrone Moore, the 21st head coach in Michigan football history. Excited to get to know him a little more in that role. Excited to cover this next era of Michigan football, and blessed to be here speaking with Clayton, speaking to you guys as we do here at thewolverine.com. So use that promo code. You got one more thing? Are you pulling? You're pulling it down.
Pull it down. Pull it down.
And did also we ever figure out what that meant?
I think it's just a celebration, but now it has a name for it. But also now, yeah, smash. Is what I wanted to say. Final thought, smash.
Yeah, and I think those shirts are already on sale at the MDN. So, I mean, they had those in the hopper ready to go. So use that promo code UM1 for 2 months of access to thewolverine.com for $1. It's basically a free trial. There's going to be staffing stuff, guys in and out the door over the next few weeks, maybe even quicker than that. Obviously, spring ball coming up. Transfer portal window opens up. Recruiting. Shout out to our recruiting guys who they've been just waiting for some. I mean, they're always tirelessly working, but I think recruiting is going to be a little more fun for them, a little more hectic for them coming up. So shout out to EJ and Zach. Thanks, everyone. You be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube, or like this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and check us out over at thewolverine.com. So for Clayton Safey, I'm Anthony Broom. Thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you again soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.